We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, joined as always by my perfectionist, but in a good way, co-host Rohan Kadi. That can be taken as a negative connotation, but Rohan, it's a good way for you.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good thing. it's a good time to be a Bucks fan. We're recording right after the Bucks win against the Indiana Pacers. But before we get into all of that, we teased something last week on our episode. It was something for Discord, people who are in our Discord. And we are happy to announce that we are partnering with Playback, which is a service that lets people host online watch parties of games that are in real time. So if you're in our watch room, our party, what is it called? That's the word I'm trying to think of. I couldn't think of the word. You're just going to be in there with us. Ty and I, we're going to be hosting. We're going to have live video of us. There's going to be a chat. Everyone is going to be synced up to the same stream. So you don't have to worry about like people being behind, people being ahead. You can just sort of watch with us. It's sort of like a virtual watch party. It's a great service. We've seen it in action. It works well. You get to watch the games alongside with us, but it's only going to be available for people who are in our Discord. Ty, do you want to know how to get into our Discord?
I would love to know. And a lot of other people will too. After we teased this last week, I think we got close to like 10 new people into the Discord. So appreciate everyone who reached out and asking or following the instructions, I guess, to get in. Rohan, let anyone else know who's been left out so far, how they can get in too.
So you can get in by tweeting at Ty or I or the Eurostep podcast account at RKATTIJR, at TIWINDISCH, at Eurostep podcast, or just email us, eurostepod@gmail.com. You just have to show that you're subscribed to our Substack or that you're leaving a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you can. 5 stars only. So that's it. That's it. That's all you have to do. And then you're into our Discord. You're going to be able to get the links to these watch parties. And we're going to be starting our first one on Thursday, December 2nd, against the Toronto Raptors, which is a 6:30 tip at Central Time. We're going to be there. Come join us. It's going to be a ton of fun. Great discussions all around. I'm excited for it, Ty. It's going to be a fun time. Make sure you get into our Discord again. Make sure that you leave a 5-star review, tweet it at us, or proof that you are subscribed to our Substack, gspn.substack.com. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. I'm really excited about this platform. I think, you know, we watch games sort of with listeners and other Bucks fans, obviously on Twitter, every game just about. That's what that is in a way. And in the Discord, you know, we'll especially me, I'll be in there messaging everything else with people. But I think this is going to be like the next level of getting to watch games with us. I think it's going to be fun, right? Like I think, you know, people listen, obviously great takes, great hair, But also, I like to think people listen because they just like to shoot the expletive about the Bucks with us, in a sense. And it'll be nice to kind of watch us watch, and we'll be in the chat in there talking, and it's going to be a good time. I'm excited for it. So I'm going to do probably a couple rooms a month. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So
yeah,
get in the Discord, send us either email or Twitter a picture of your 5-star review on the show on Apple or wherever else, or your subscription to gspn.substack.com, which is free. And you can get into the Discord and get access to our playback rooms and watch the Bucks with us. And who wouldn't want to watch the Bucks with us?
Exactly. It's a fun interface. There's opportunities for like us to bring people on stage if possible. It's just going to be a fun time. It's going to be a great fun time. And again, starting on Thursday, December 2nd against the Toronto Raptors. So make sure you get into the Discord before then, because it's only going to be available to people who are in the Discord.
Exactly. And speaking of getting into, we are about to get into our great conversation. We had a guest on this episode, something we'd like to do more. We have so much fun, Rohan, just you and I talking Bucks, or talking with Adam and or Jordan, of course, on the great Win in Six podcast here on GSPN as well. But there's so many great people covering the Bucks now more than ever. Like, not to say the market is saturated is a bad thing, but every time I'm on Bucks Twitter, I'm tweeting during a game. It's like, so many great people covering the Bucks, either Twitter, YouTube, whatever it is, making great content. So we grabbed one of them, Jake Reitz at Jaja Reitz on Twitter, to just talk about the state of the Bucks, how they're looking this season right after the Pacers game we recorded. And also, of course, DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie's a Buck. We got into all of that and more, team building philosophies. It was a blast. We compared Bobby Portis to Anthony Davis and Christian Wood, and I think technically Giannis, but it was indirect, whatever. It's a fun pod, so enjoy, and remember, rate 5 stars on Apple. Send us that picture, get in the Discord, subscribe to the Substack, support the pod. We really appreciate it, and subscribe on YouTube if you're not already. This episode and pretty much all of our episodes are on YouTube, but without further ado, folks, enjoy the pod. As advertised, Rohan and I thrilled to be joined by the excellent Bucks Twitter. I don't even want to say up and comer. I feel like you've been dominating for more than a year now. I'm old, so time is moving very quickly. But Jake Reitz, Jake, welcome to the Eurostep. How's it going, man?
Great. That's very generous of you. I appreciate that. It's great to be here. First time podcaster, so I'm excited. I am ready to go. Let's get it going.
Let's see. Either way works for me. Either you're a natural or you have beginner's luck. Hopefully it's the first one, but as long as this goes well, I'll take either of those outcomes. So we're recording right after Bucks Pacers. The Bucks beat the Pacers by 18. Rohan, I don't think you heard this because you were doing an AirPods thing. Jake has a tremendous stat that is updated after this game. I did not know about.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, so under Bud, since Bud took over, versus the Central Division, they are 45-4. They are 40-1 when Giannis plays, and they're on an active 37-game win streak. So just constant domination, and it just felt like that again tonight.
It did.
That's ridiculous.
37 straight when, Giannis plays.
Can I guess when the last one was?
Yeah, go for it.
It's got to be against, I think it was against the Pacers, right? Mm. When Giannis played? Was it 20? Oh, God.
If he gets the year. Well, I guess you could kind of just do the math.
18?
Yep.
Let's get it.
That's pretty
good. It was the Thad Young Giannis stopper game.
Thad
Young became known as that. So that was the last time they've lost, and the only time they've lost when Giannis has played under Bud.
That's ridiculous. Like you said, just dominance over the Central Division. And that was on full display again tonight, like you mentioned, Ty. We're recording right after the Bucks beat the Pacers 118-100, but that was not the major news story of the day. Right before, I believe it was like half an hour before game time, we get the Woj, we get the Shams notification that DeMarcus Cousins is signing a 1-year non-guaranteed deal, we'll get into that, with the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks. This is something that we've talked about, Ty, just it was a wasted roster spot. It was a good old luxury tax savings sitting right there. Man.
I will, for the record, I'm not with that jersey being retired. Luxury tax savings. I won't miss you. Hasta la vista.
He's gone. DeMarcus is in, and obviously not in time for this Pacers game.
Yeah.
But potentially for Wednesday's matchup, interesting signing. We've been clamoring all year about how they need another big with Brooke still out. Please get well soon, Brooke. But this is he's a big guy. He's capable of playing center. Obviously, his best years are behind him after his plethora of lower leg / knee injuries, highlighted by his torn Achilles and ACL tear in a span of 2 years, I believe, which is just awful, awful stuff. But he sort of rebounded. He was spent half of last year with the Rockets, half of last year with the Clippers, played during the Clippers Western Conference run, and now he's looking to rehabilitate his career, get back to winning ways, and hopefully provide something for this Bucks team.
Yeah, I know. I think you were more pro Boogie than I was, Rohan. I worry about the foot speed defensively with him. I think that's going to be an issue for the Bucks. It will be interesting to see, can they maximize him the way they maximized Brook Lopez, who wasn't seen really as a defensive beast when he came to Milwaukee? Obviously, he's not going to be an all-defensive level player, but maybe with a lot of smart, capable defenders around him and a good scheme, the Bucks can make up for that. But although I honestly think, like, people have asked me already, you know, how do you feel? And I keep trying to wait until the pod, but then I send 10 more tweets about how I feel. But honestly, I think it's like, it's such a low risk move. You mentioned Rohan, non-guaranteed. NBA contracts all have to be guaranteed for rest of season. I think it's January 7. So if the Bucks keep Boogie for a month and a little more than a week, or they haven't signed him yet, maybe it's just going to be a month, who knows? Like, there's no guarantee that they cut him, obviously, but the luxury tax spending is quite minimal. Like, it's literally a prorated vet min for the time he was on the roster, which is not much. It multiplies because it's luxury tax, but it's not much. So just to get through both Brook Lopez being out, which we don't know how long that's going to last, and, like, Brook Lopez easing back into action. Maybe Brook Lopez is back. Giannis takes a game off. Maybe Brook is, I think probably, Brooke will be load managed a little bit going forward. Although we haven't really seen that with Drew and Chris. Brooke obviously older and back injuries can be a different beast. But I just think for the low risk, it's why not? Why not see if he has something in the tank? And maybe it works out really well. I think bare minimum, it gives you another big body. And they've just needed that lately. Jake, what did you think when you heard the Bucks, besides from just being shocked that they actually are using the 15th spot, what did you think about the signing?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I got a low risk. I agree with everything you guys are saying. I am a little worried about Brook and what that means for his health with the timing of the signing, whether it was just decided that we just need the depth now, especially with Semi out, or if it's something that they think is there was a setback with Brook, more long-term something with him health-wise. So I'd feel a little bit better if we had more information on Brooks' injury, but I like the little risk of it. And I think a lot of his foot speed stuff can be minimized and drop coverage, zone defense, with the Bucks play a lot of more recently with the zone defense. So I think he could fit in well in those schemes. So I think, again, low risk. I like the signing. Just hope that this doesn't mean anything for Brooks' health.
Let's get into that. What does this mean for Brook Lopez? So obviously one of the things you want to go to right away is like, oh God, Brook he's going to be out even longer, even though he had that report with Shams like last week, 2 weeks ago, where he's like, I have a target date in mind. I'm not going to tell you what the target date is, but there is one. Trust me.
As Adam McGee points out, the audio mysteriously cuts at some point. Yep. Was that just a Zoom glitch, or was that a targeted? We don't know. We never know. We don't know anything.
We continue to know nothing about Brook Lopez and his health. Thank you, Bucks. But I don't know if this means a whole lot. Obviously, like you mentioned, Jake, Shemi is out. He's going to be out for a while now. That is a big, big spot in the rotation that is gone. Unfortunately, number 37 is going to be sidelined for a little bit. I got you, Ty. Don't worry. It's looking a little thin at the front court rotation, especially with Thanasis being excised from the rotation, and maybe a little deservedly so. But you just need more bigs in general. Like we've talked about before, Bobby Portis, even though he's getting better, is best suited not to play as a center. He's best suited to play as a four, even though, like I just mentioned, he's been doing better. He hasn't been getting picked on as much recently, but you just need some insurance. Plus, you don't have to waste all of those minutes with Giannis at the five, sort of get him, you know, take a beating at the five for long periods of time. Just let it coast through the regular season. I think that's what more this move is about. Again, knowing nothing about Brook Lopez's health, it could be the fact that Brook Lopez is going to be out a significant period of time. We don't know. I'm inclined to say that that's probably not the main reason, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess the question you would ask then is why not sooner? And I think number 37's injury is a factor in this. I mean, every time the Bucks brain trust, a.k.a. Horst and Bud, mostly Bud because Horst just doesn't do that much media because most GMs don't. Look up for a fun fact. Look up the last time Kobe Altman took questions. I think it's been like a very long time. But with him going out, he was the guy that kept saying, though, number 37 on the Bucks, that, oh, he's going to play a lot of center. Like, he's going to be a big, he's going to be in our big rotation. So now who knows how long Brook is still out. We're beating a dead horse a little bit, but it's not entirely our fault. It is relevant literally all the time with how important he is to the team. But now you lose another member of the quote-unquote big rotation. So really, for the next, we'll say 2 weeks. I think that's the timeline for the injury and the one that we know about, at least. It's not Brook, unfortunately. It's Bobby and Giannis, and that's about it. I mean, we're seeing Rodney Hood play more. Results there have been mixed. We might get to that a little bit later. I think Jordan Wara, who obviously a lot of fans would love to see step into that bigger role, he's gotten his chances. He hasn't been very consistent on either end. So I think this is the Bucks saying, hey, at some point, Giannis is going to miss a few games. Happens pretty much every year. His knees get sore. I mean, stuff just happens. He's played a huge load. I think he's missed, what, one all year? Is it just the Celtics game? I think that's the only one. Like, when he's out, Bobby starts at center, and then what? Rodney Hood is the center for 20 minutes of the game? That's terrible. That's objectively terrible. That's not sustainable. Maybe you do break glass on TA in those minutes. Or maybe you bring in DeMarcus Cousins at no cost to the roster. You don't have to cut anyone to do this. And you see what he's got left. Like, the interesting thing about Boogie is the actual contribution to winning is we'll see. Offensively and defensively, we'll see. There will be raw production. Like last year, as a role player on the Clippers, he averaged 21, 12, 2.8 assists, 2.3 steals, one block per 36. Like, he's not playing a ton of minutes anymore, but in his minutes, it's like a my player on 2K. It's like you play 8 minutes and you have like all the blocks, all the rebounds, all the turnovers, all the attempted shots. So at least it won't be one of those where you don't know what you're getting. Like, he's going to shoot. He's going to put some points up. The defensive end, we'll see. But I do think it's just largely beneficial. And I'm just going to choose to be an ostrich, put my head on the sand, not pretend any bad news on Brook as a part of this. It's just the right move. And also, it's cheaper now than it was a month ago. It costs less to do. So that could be a factor as well. Who knows?
Definitely. I think it could be a factor. You know what? A month of luxury tax savings, that's like, I wish I knew the calculation offhand, but it's not an insignificant amount of money.
It's like a Snickers bar to us if you scale it down, but yes,
like, it's true. Like, LeBron suspension saved the Lakers $500,000 in luxury tax savings for one game. So who knows how much the Bucks are saving with this 1 month.
Does that only matter if it's guaranteed?
Yes.
Okay.
So, wow, like you mentioned,
someone
that
with non-guaranteed money punch someone in the face.
Don't give me any ideas. All right.
Yorgos, get out there. We're playing the Pistons. I don't know why it has to be Isaiah Stewart, but it does.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
But yeah, January 7th is the date you said, Ty. Yep. That was correct. I did check that.
Thank you.
The date where it has to be guaranteed by. So we'll see. There's a little bit of a trial period. This is a guy who's talked about at length in the past about how he just wants to win. He wants to wear a ring. He has a specific finger he wants to wear his ring on. I'm not going to say which one, but
if you know anything about Boogie, you could probably guess.
Yeah, you'll be able to figure it out. But it should be good. I'm excited to see, like, I think it was Josh Eberle who just tweeted about this. Just 1 month in, ask Boogie about the Giannis AD comps, see what he has to say about it. Collecting former Pelicans at this point. Everyone except Anthony Davis, just to prove that Giannis can take these players and take them to victory. It's a tradition unlike no other. Who are we going to see next? I have no idea.
It's Solomon Hill.
Rondo.
Rondo.
Oh, God.
It's needed.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, playoff Rondo. I'll take it. Solomon Hill, Omer Asik. Can we bring him?
I think Omer had to. I think that was a medical thing. He had to retire, unfortunately.
No. I think Ryan Anderson still has one. Yeah, he has one knee left, I think, still somewhere. Yeah.
He's on the Rockets, isn't he? Technically?
No.
I swear.
He's been out of the league.
Is he?
Oh, damn. Yeah. I think he was last on the Heat.
Oh, my God. I will say, there was a period of time I thought expanded role Alexis Ajinsa could be, like, so good. Like, I thought he could be, like, 80% of peak DeAndre Jordan.
No.
I don't know why. He couldn't. There was a time I thought he could. But the Bucks don't need a big. They have Boogie now. Rohan, are you really looking up to see if Ryan Anderson is...
19-20 was the last year he played. Two games.
I saw that he was on the Rockets because he was at Rockets practice the other day. Just sort of helped out. So that's why I got confused.
Maybe going to be a coach or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, why not? That organization gave him a lot of money.
That they did. Did they give him and Chandler Parsons the bag? Oh, no, he went to Dallas. That's right.
Dallas
gave it. Cuban and him in the nightclub when Cuban gave him all that money. Aged so poorly for the Mavs. It's hard to even put into words. Okay. The Bucks, though. Enough talk about – actually – I have one more quick Boogie question before we get to the Bucks. Jake, I'm going to make you go first. You're the guest. Spot of honor. First on the hot seat.
All right.
Do we think the three-point shooting is going to translate? I think 42% last year, super low volume, like 19 attempts. But he is shooting them now. I think he started still when he was with the Kings. I covered the Kings for like 2 years. It was a big deal. Back then, it was like, oh, my God, why would he ever shoot them? He's a center. Now it's like, of course he would try. But do we think he's actually going to take and make some threes on the Bucks?
Yeah, I don't know if that will necessarily be his role. In the second unit, I'd like to see him get more rim pressure and try to run pick and rolls and get to the rim, do some post-ups and stuff like that. In lineups with Giannis, I'd like to see him look to shoot the three, let it fly. I hope it will translate. Haven't seen Boogie play in a year or two, so... hot take, yes, it will translate. We'll leave it at that.
I don't think the attempts are really going to translate. I mean, Actually, maybe from the Clippers, realistically, because with the Clippers, he took 1.2 a game, 19 total attempts. I don't think he's going to be shooting that many threes. We've even seen that with the decline of Brook Lopez's three-point rate in recent seasons. It's just, it's something that the Bucks have really shied away from. Again, if he's in transition and he wants to really be a little lazy, he could be like Brook Lopez, just hoist it up as he's getting back on offense. But I don't think Boogie's going to have that sort of reign that that Brook Lopez does. But no, in all seriousness, I'm not counting on it per se. And I'm not really expecting it, but I don't think it'll be that big of an issue.
I'm wondering if like most of his Bucks threes are, like you mentioned, Rohan, the trailing threes. That's where I could see him taking maybe one a game if he's playing like 15 minutes, right? Like everyone else is up the court. Boogie's taking a while because he's Boogie and he's huge and he's played for a long time now. And somebody kicks it back to him because, you know, five guys are on Giannis or whatever it is. I could see him taking and making some there. Not sure how much we'll see him in the corners. I think if we see him in the corners too much, it might not be working out. Like, I don't think that's really the goal, but it never hurts if he's at least a little bit stretchy, right? Like, anytime you're on a team with Giannis, it helps if you can be a little stretchy. But okay, we'll see.
He's a big dude, 6'10", 270.
He's huge. Yeah, he's legit big. You know what? I will say transition time. This Pacers game, the Bucks won the rebounding battle. I think that was really kind of what swung it for them. Also, I mean, they just D'd up really well. Bobby Portis threw Domantas Sabonis into a locker, which is just tremendous. Not literally. I should clarify that. We've had some fights in the NBA this year. But figuratively threw him into a locker. But I think the Bucks, we've seen them, as you alluded to earlier, Rohan, like Bobby Portis in particular, rebounding better, weaponizing the size a little bit better. It will be nice to have more options to do that. But I think this Bucks team, the one silver lining of this whole period without Brook Lopez has been, I think they've had to figure out, you know, they've had to play without the safety net of Brook always boxing out, always tapping out rebounds to some other guys. So I think they're going to love having him back. I think they're going to be way better when he plays. But I do think that we're seeing them figure some stuff out without him that the earlier weeks were just terrible. So we can really go almost any direction. Jake, again, this one's easy. You don't have to produce a take, but what's been jumping out to you about the Bucks, either against the Pacers or just lately, that you want to start talking about here?
I would say for both, the presence in the paint. With Brook out, that was desperately missing. I feel like the Bucks have gotten better at protecting the paint and also attacking the paint. On defense, they've switched up the schemes a little bit with running more zone, keeping Giannis in the middle there. That's helped out with positionally him being able to protect the rim. And then also for rebounding, him just being right there, making it easier for him to box out and not be on the perimeter having to crash the boards. And also in pick and roll coverage, they've run a little more drop, I've noticed. And I think that has just helped out a lot, keeping the opponents out of the paint and then also the rebounding. So I think that's probably a good place to start.
They're just playing big. I don't want to say this because it's not in vogue right now because the team is struggling right now, but it kind of feels like the bubble Lakers a little bit in the sense that they're really imposing themselves physically. If you want to play multiple bigs at a time, we're going to take advantage of that. And that's what's plaguing the Lakers right now, is that they can't take advantage of the fact that they're playing multiple bigs. But it sort of feels like that. You're getting the good production. I guess, is Bobby Portis Anthony Davis in this situation?
Don't know.
That's a good comp.
I think so.
I don't know.
Might is be Anthony Davis closer to Bobby or Giannis? That's probably the proper take.
Oh, okay. We getting spicy.
That's good. Yes, that's good.
100%. but in this situation, it does equate because you get you get Bobby sort of providing that offensive spark while you also have Giannis there to clean everything up defensively, and Bobby's starting to be able to hold his own, like I mentioned earlier. You're just sort of seeing them like, okay, we're bigger than you. We're stronger than you. This is just a regular season game. We're just going to go out there and beat you down. And it's working. Like, you're seeing this, even though they couldn't really buy a three-point bucket to start this game. What did they finish? 8 of 35?
Yeah, they couldn't 22.9%.
It's just ridiculous. It's basically the opposite of the Magic game last Monday, but they still manage to win by double digits because they can just impose themselves, weaponize their size. That's what we've been clamoring for all throughout the last playoff run. It's just, it's great to see them realize like this sort of switch is flipped. It's like, we're just going to back you down. We're going to put you in the basket. I think Drew is just a perfect encapsulation of that, in that he's the point guard of the team, obviously. And even though there's multiple big bodies around him, he's still going to get to his spots. He's still going to take his defender. He's going to make the right reads if he's doubled. And if he's not doubled, he's just going to score or at least get a good shot off. It's just, it's great to see this team sort of realizing their identity again. And that's what I've been taking away from this sort of 7-game winning streak now, right? Seven? Yeah.
I think so. They're five, just 5 at home, 2 on the road.
Yeah, they're just imposing themselves. They're finding themselves and they're determining their identity, which is great to see this early in the season still.
I also feel like just a lot of guys are rebounding really well right now. Like Pat has 7 tonight. George Hill has 6 tonight. Rodney Hood with 4 off the bench. Giannis, obviously, 13. Bobby, only 6. His one offensive rebound was so loud, though. Like, I feel like every time he has one of those plays, like, I get amped watching and, like, quote-unquote covering the game. The crowds always get a little amped. Obviously, they were in Indy tonight, but at Fiserv, I mean, they would have just been going insane. And I think it's always a little funny that Bobby kind of gets bigger cheers than anyone on the team, sometimes including Giannis. But I think there is just, like, an infectiousness to his energy. But going back to what you mentioned earlier, Jake, about the defense and switching up the defensive coverages, I feel like they just pull out a lot of stuff now. I mean, there was a point in the, I want to say, second quarter where they were switching, like, really well, like, flying around the court, getting the shooters. I remember they gave up, right when I was going to tweet it, they gave up a 3 to Chris Duarte. It was, like, sort of open, and he's a guy who will just shoot that anyway, and it wasn't a great look to give up. I think Pat drifted a little bit too far, too close to the ball handler. But I think a lot of this game, they were switching really well. It finally doesn't look like they learned switching 5 minutes ago, which it did for a lot of the last regular season. I think they're hedging a lot of pick and rolls. I saw a lot this game. Bobby is hedging when he's the big, and then they're scram switching to get him back out away from the perimeter. And I think that's something that's probably the most effective thing they do with him. Just straight up switching is fine. But when you do it under a guy like Tatum, like we saw in the Celtics game, you're just giving up too many good shots. But if you do the scram switch, like just get guys moving, you're not giving up those great shots. You're giving opponents like 2 seconds to hoist the open shot or make the play. And if they don't do it, they lost their advantage. So just seeing in the zone, which I was so anti-zone last year, they're doing it okay now. They're figuring some stuff out with zone. It's just like, I think so many of my takeaways about this team are, you look at them and you go, a lot of what's happening is very promising when you think about the playoffs. Like, they're going to be comfortable running like 4 defenses. They were comfortable running like 1.5 to start last postseason. Like, someone like Grayson Allen coming in and being this effective and hitting shots. Pat Connaughton looking better than ever. Like, Giannis continuing to get better. You know, Chris and Drew doing their thing. Like, I just feel like so much of what hasn't worked for the Bucks has been stuff where it's like either a random one-off or, okay, yeah, they're not great when Justin Robinson plays. He's on a two-way. He's not going to play a rotation minute in the playoffs. Like, they're going to be a lot better. I think you can look at the top 9 or so guys on this team, probably 10 if you consider Dante, who's now dunking again, and go, they're rock solid and they can do more stuff than ever. I just think I've overall, even though they've been disappointing record-wise, I think now tied for 4th with Chicago, I believe, so getting back to home court. But it doesn't matter that much to me. Like, I just think the signs have been really positive for this Bucks team.
It's been really positive. It's hard to really be upset with what they're doing right now, given, again, we should contextualize all of this. The teams they've been beating recently aren't like world beaters by any standpoint.
Indy's okay.
In what world is Indy okay?
Let me see where they're at.
It's not great.
What are they?
Yeah.
9 and 13.
Is that a play-in team? Play-in teams are okay.
They're not even.
They're still missing guys. I mean, TJ Warren's not there. And they just got, I mean, LeVert was out for a while. But it always feels like they're injured. Brogdon's going to take 20 games off throughout the year. Turner.
But still, this team is.
They're ninth. That's not bad. They're ninth in the East.
No, they're not.
Oh, this is last year. Sorry.
They're 13th.
They're 13th.
It's not good. It's regardless. Not regardless. It hasn't been.
They're only 3 games out of 10th. That's one of the teams they beat. Not bad.
Pretty cool.
Because they've had an easy schedule. They played the Lakers twice already.
Hey, there we go.
I was waiting for that.
Oh, my goodness. But regardless, it hasn't been like an insanely good opponents that they've been beating up on. But that's just – it's just what happens. You know, it's you can't really control those sort of aspects. So whenever the Bucks play a good team again, with this team healthy, it'll be then I'll start feeling a little. I'm obviously still feeling comfortable with what they're doing now, but I just want to keep seeing it build and build, because it's like, what happens if you go against a team like the Suns? What happens if you go against a team like the Heat, as much as it pains me to say, or the Wizards? The Wizards.
You need to be stopped. The Wizards are not good. The Wizards are not good. The 5 Wizards fans in existence, feel free to save this.
I have like 2 of them that follow me. So.
Me too. Good people. I'm sorry. Not a top 5 team in the East by, let me think, end of January.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they might be.
They look pretty good.
Yeah. And it's not like Beal's been incredible or Dinwiddie's been incredible.
They're it's been their defense.
Exactly. The defense might regress a bit, but their offense has to pick it up as well, especially from the top 2 guys. But whatever. The Wizards are fine, Ty. Don't be hating on the Wizards.
Fine is I agree with fine. 6th in the East is fine.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're not a top.
They're better than the Pacers.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I don't know what. Okay, whatever.
I don't disagree with that.
Regardless, yes. Whether it holds up against good teams,
irregardless,
I hate you. it remains to be seen, but I don't know. It's hard not to feel good about this team right now. That's just not. It's just good vibes all around, and especially what we've been talking about defensively. But here's where we shift a little bit. This team is struggling at points a little offensively, but we've seen some different things, right? We've seen some different lineups being used, especially it was last game against, who did they play? The Pistons?
Nuggets,
excuse me. Yeah, you're right.
The zombie Nuggets, to be clear.
The zombie Nuggets,
nobody, yeah.
We saw a little bit more of Jrue Holiday being used in lineups where he was the only starter and he was starting to feast a little bit more. And I think that sort of drives our conversation a little bit towards Jrue Holiday, who's been chucking a little bit, but he looks better offensively than he did to start the season. Ty, what do you want to talk about with Jrue Holiday?
So much of it I like. I'm rubbing my temples. So much of it I like. Some of the threes this guy attempts, like
Alcatraz. The step back corner.
Oh, my God. All the time. It's like he gets the big on him. The big is not that far away from him. 7 steps back into a contested three. I think he was 1 for 7. He led the Bucks in shot attempts against Indiana. He had 21 shots. Giannis had 15, although Giannis did have 10 free throw attempts, but nobody else was within 6 besides Giannis. 7 of those 21 are threes. He's 1 for 7. That's really the thing. It's great that Jrue is confident enough to keep shooting. It saved them against the Nets, although you could argue maybe a little better shot selection along the way. They wouldn't have need saving. Regardless, it worked out. They won a championship. But it's like, don't take 7 threes. Like, his one make was a catch and shoot 3. If you're going to take 3 or 4, we'll say, catch and shoot, open threes, that's fine. You actually have to take those. It's bad for the team if you don't, if your name isn't Giannis, because Giannis can get away with that because he's incredible at everything else. But those kill me. Like, honestly, even a missed layup here and there, it feels like he has gotten a lot better over the last couple weeks at those. Doesn't even bother me that much. Like, it happens. You know what? Layups are hard. I'm not good at layups either. I'm not in the NBA, granted, but I'm a better shooter than layup maker. It's difficult to do. I think it's an underrated thing on how hard it can be. But if he wants to biff a layup, that's fine. Like, at least the process was good. The 7 threes kills me. Like, he just takes way too many step-back threes. I know he made them at a 40% clip last regular season. It did not translate. It has not translated to this season. It feels great when they go in, which is awesome. But that's the thing with me. Like, I think overall he looks a lot better. I think he is contributing a lot of points. He's been a straight up great playmaker this year. 9 assists again against Indy. I think all the time I look down at the box score and he is responsible for way more assists than I would have thought. He just casually sprays good passes. But my goodness, the threes. Like if he would just cut like half of those threes, basically the step backs, most of them, I think he would be so much more effective. But still, it's great to see him do pretty much everything else well for this winning streak, or most of it, because that was probably my biggest, outside of injury stuff, like Bucks anxiety was like, is he really not able to make layups anymore? Because that is going to be a problem eventually. But Jake, what are your thoughts on Drew's offense?
Yeah, I think the last couple of games specifically, he's done a better job at getting to the rim and then finishing. Looking at his stats on the year, I think that's coming into this game. He was shooting 48% at the rim, which compared to that to last year, he was at 66%. So obviously a big decline there. But I think the last couple of games has been better. The step back threes earlier in the shot clock, I agree, need to go. Especially in the corner, it's just a bad angle. And when he hit the side of the backboard, I was like, ooh.
That one was rough. That one was brutal.
Yeah. But overall, I think he's playing his way back in the game shape. And I mean, it was no off season, all of that with the Olympics, the playoffs, all of that. So I think he's getting there. He's getting closer. I'd say on both ends, he's looked better. The last couple of games defensively, he's looked really good. Held Brogdon to 5 of 12 shooting. And Brogdon just overall looked not great. So I'd give Holiday a lot of credit on both ends tonight. And in general, and playmaking and everything like that's been there. So overall, I've been happier with the progress he's made. And hopefully you can just continue to get that going in that same trajectory.
I think one of the main issues that comes from Drew Holiday just sort of taking all these threes is he's being like, it goes back to what I was saying with the lineups, where he's the only starter and he's being tasked with just sort of being the primary creator, being the guy who's just sort of taking all the shots in that sort of respect. So he's going to feel a little bit, given a lot of those attempts also came when Giannis and Chris were out there, but it's just, he seems like when it's his time to shine, he wants to really put on a show in that regard. And a lot of the time it works. He puts his head down, he gets to the rim, given, like you mentioned, guys, it's just like the layups have been coming and going, mostly coming nowadays, but it's just that's good process. But just the step back threes is sort of, it's tough. It's real, real tough. But I think it's something that we can live with a little bit, in the sense that if he wants to take those when he's the only starter and he's being tasked with creating a lot of the offense, he's a little tired from the defensive end, sure, it's fine. Have your couple of shots a game. You know, like we get Mamu playing in these games. So you can take some extra shots if you really want to sort of improve your game. And if he tones it down in the playoffs, that'll be better. But in the regular season, I'm not really sure if it matters all too much.
It probably doesn't, but I'll still be pensive about it. I still don't love it. It's not something I enjoy a lot. I'm trying to think of what else is really like on my mind lately about the Bucks. I also just want to bring up Pat. I just think I can't do it too often. He's just been so good. Like he's been on a game where he's 1 for 6 from the field, 5 for 5 from two. Again, just continues to convert tough layups. He made a falling down mid-range jumper when he was wide open at one point. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. No turnovers for Pat, who had 14 points. He's just going to average double-digit scoring this year. Like earlier in the season, it was kind of like, okay, he's shooting hot. They're without a lot of guys, so he's taking more shots. It was like Grayson's averaging 17. Like when Chris is out, that's not going to hold. Pat's averaging whatever he was at that point, like 12, 13. That's probably not going to hold either. Now I think it is. Like I think he's going to score like 12 points more games than not. Again, a game where he's 1 for 6 from deep, he has 14, and none of his shots to me really felt all that forced. I guess a lot of my optimism for the Bucks earlier that I was talking about, and Rohan, do you count the Hornets as a good-ish team? That's who they play on Wednesday.
They're fine.
Yeah, I think they're frisky. I think they have a negative point differential. Are they that's the team? I know there's
They just lost to the Rockets last night too. That was a heck of a game.
They are what we thought, or at least what I thought the Bulls were going to be. Like, their offense is great. They're super fun. They don't play any defense whatsoever. The Bulls have figured that out so far. Also, not sure that's going to hold up all year either. I know that's – people are getting yelled at for saying that online. God, I sound terrible when I talk like that. But
asking to be yelled at, realistically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's like a certain form of never mind. But I don't think it's going to hold like it has. They've been good, not great. But who cares about the Bulls? We'll talk about that when they play.
You brought them up.
I know. That's why I'm trying to move on. But the role players playing well, I think, is what has me excited. I just feel like they've got a really good fit around Giannis and the big three. And I would say the core four, but we've only seen them for one game. But I think the big three, they're undefeated when all three play, which is great. And I think George Hill has started to really impress me with the way he's played. But the big question now is, what is going to be the answer for, like, the backup true, like, stretch four? Like, we know Pat can kind of do it. They still want someone bigger, right? Like, you're not going to put Pat on KD. You would ideally like to have a bench player. You are comfortable with doing that. So, as is tradition on this pod, we'll throw to Jake first again. Do you feel more comfortable about Rodney Hood, number 37, Jordan Wara, or is there just clearly another move coming, not the Boogie thing, but another move coming to add someone who can do that? Because to me, it doesn't feel like any of those options have been like, oh, hell yeah, that guy's a playoff player.
Yeah, I think there's another move to come. I was hopeful that Semi would fill that role. What I've seen from him this year just hasn't been enough on either end. Outside of that, internally, I would think maybe going smaller might be an answer with Dante, and then having Grayson in there as well, and trying that, going three guards and then Chris at the four, or Pat in there trying the four. But outside of that, I don't think internally right now they had the correct formula to go small consistently in the playoffs.
I have an answer for you. I don't know if you guys are going to like this.
Oh boy.
Sandro?
He's not on the roster. His basketball reference nickname is Optimus Dime.
Beautifully, John Wall at the four?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I will say I did get asked.
Before you start, how on earth did you know that his name was Optimus Dime?
Wall facts.
I gave it away.
You don't know John Wall stuff? Optimus Dime. That was his nickname for 8 minutes.
I can't say I recall that, but go on.
I was a big John Wall guy. If John Wall wants to come on a buyout, absolutely. I was against this earlier. I'm at the point now where it's like, let's try it. Let's give it a shot, right? Non-guaranteed deal. Don't give him as much as the Knicks gave Kemba. Turns out those moves can go wrong, as we're seeing with the Knicks and Kemba. Poor Kemba. I like Kemba. But he's not a four. He's not helping you there. Let's call George Hill what he is, probably more of a two or at least a combo guard than a one at this point. We saw that, like, when Drew was out, there was just not a lot of juice from the bench in terms of shot creation, especially with Bobby either out or starting. Like, George Hill, I think he's such a good connector. I don't think he's a ball-dominant guy anymore just at this point in his career. So John Wall would be fun, Optimus Dime. I don't think there's any way they buy him out. I don't think there's any way the Bucks trade for him. I do hope he gets to play there, though. Like, this situation is getting kind of ugly in Houston. Like, he clearly wants to play. We'll see, like, how bad he really wants to start, or is that just the way Houston is framing it to get him not to play? I don't know, but that's an ugly thing. Like, they need to stop acting like Kevin Porter Jr. is the next John Wall, because he's pretty clearly not, based on their 1-15 record with him as the point guard. And Bobby Portis is way better than Christian Wood. That's my last Houston Rockets. Is that spicy?
It's a little spicy.
Jake doesn't think it's spicy.
No. Bobby's way better.
I mean, we did just compare him to Anthony Davis.
He's closer to Anthony Davis than Christian Wood.
Oh, you know, that's a good one. I agree, though.
But no, realistically, to answer the question that I sort of sidetracked, in terms of like a backup four, I'm not really sure if they're on the roster right now. Like, realistically, I haven't put my head down and gotten like a good list of who's available yet. I might do that soon. But it's just they need someone to step up from this group of guys, or they're going to need to make a move. And we know John Horst, he loves making these moves. He loves his midseason trades. Some work out, some don't. But he's definitely going to be on the market for a four, whether it comes through bio, whether it comes through trade. There's going to be a four that is added. It's just tradition at this point. But I don't know if they're on the roster in terms of like the actual answer.
I will say there isn't a ton of fours on the market either, especially at that the price range that works for the Bucks. I would love Thad Young, but he's at $14 million. Unless he's getting bought out, that's not a realistic option. There's just not a ton. Yeah, right. But there's just not a ton in general in the league right now. There used to be a surplus of fours that could fill either 3 and D or specifically stretching the floor at the four. That was a big thing. But obviously, with the more important having the defensive aspect of the four, there's not a ton of people that fill that role in the NBA right now.
You know what'd be really funny is if they somehow managed to get Torrey Craig back from the Pacers.
I saw him. I think he missed everything with a three at one point, a wide open three in this game. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the secret weapon the Suns took from the Bucks and used to beat them. Oh wait, that's not how that happened at all.
Is he getting a ring ceremony in his first home game?
Have they had one yet? Didn't they?
I don't know if they have.
Or no?
I don't think they've played him at home.
I don't think so.
If they give him one, don't do a ceremony, right? Like, just FedEx.
DJ Wilson gets one, right?
I believe so. Oh, at least he gets offered one.
I guess, yeah. Oh. Do they have to do it like the way I got my diploma from UW Oshkosh? Came home one day. It was laying face down on my porch. It wasn't even in the mailbox, and it would have fit, like it sticking out. It was like somebody just threw it out of a moving car. They were like, congrats. Like, we know you have loans. You're not going to donate anytime soon. Whatever. Here it is. That's how they should give rings to the guys, especially Torrey Craig, who played against them. Not his fault, but played against them in the finals.
He did more to help the Bucks win than he would have on the bench of the Bucks. So.
He did more than DJ Wilson did. DJ Augustine also ring eligible, I guess. I will say the names the Discord threw out like last week. One was Robin Lopez, who that's obvious. And this is just like not for this specific like need, but just buyout guys. That probably not happening now. He might get bought out, but probably not coming to the Bucks now that they have DeMarcus. Although maybe if
is DeMarcus the stretch four?
No,
it might be
the small ball four.
No, God, I hope not. Yeah, foot speed's a concern. Let's just move him down a position. That sounds pretty foolproof. I really hope not. But actually, maybe who knows? DeMarcus is non guaranteed. Maybe if Rallo does become available, they would make that switch. It would be pretty easy to do so. But the other names with Thad Young, who if he gets bought out, oh my God, that would be an incredible buyout. Like, I'm trying to think the most impactful. We thought Marvin Williams was going to be one of those guys. It didn't really work out, but he was okay. That would be a huge buyout, though. Thad Young is good. And then Mo Harkless, who I'm just like, no. He just can't do offense. He just doesn't do offense. You have TA already. You have Mo Harkless at home.
What about Al-Farouq Aminu?
That's the name I was thinking of. I was Googling him right now.
I just think of the Blazers.
Yes.
And him being wide open from three for three straight postseasons and him hitting nothing. But maybe it'd be different in Milwaukee.
He's not in the other direction in Milwaukee. Since the start of the 2019-20 season, so the last 2 years, not this one because he hasn't played anywhere, Al-Farouq shooting a solid 23% from deep.
That's nice. A small sample size.
Ty, do you think you can match that?
Those.
You said you're a shooter.
In the games I play, I could probably match that. In NBA games, no. On an outdoor court in scenic Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I could probably hit 29. Or what was it, 23? 23%?
Yeah.
It is a small sample. He's only played like 40 games, which is kind of telling. Over the last 2 years, he's only played 40 games.
He had an injury, I think, somewhere in there, but
yeah. Just the point stands that there's not a ton of options that are realistic for this team. So if we're being like completely realistic, you're going to need like a Shemmy to pop. Number 37, sorry, Ty.
You can say it. It's just me because
I'm doing it out of respect.
Okay. Yeah, like the barrier thing. I got you.
Yeah, come on. Or like if Rodney Hood could figure it out, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool. But that's going to be, that's since the center is sort of figured out, let's say for now, in terms of like, that was the biggest glaring hole on the roster, was a backup five or like a five in general with Brook out. Now that they've got Boogie, the next hole is really a backup four.
Would either of you, whoever, I won't make Jake go first if he doesn't want to. Would either of you trade Dante for Darius Bazley or Kenrich Williams?
Give me Bazley. No.
You would do the Bazley one? I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know if he's better than a guy you could just sign is the issue. I did say Dante for Robin Lopez, which I feel a little iffy about now. We'll see, I guess, how DeMarcus looks. But I think that's a step too low even for me. Like, Kenny Hustle, great story. Just neither of these guys can do anything on offense. So it's like, I feel like you could just find someone. Or again, like, if you really just want a guy who can play some hard defense and nothing on offense, we do have Thanasis already. I mean, I can't believe, Rohan, you didn't yell at me for not mentioning him as an option.
I mean, I know it's there. It's sitting in my back pocket. You know,
I'm waiting for the right time. Why can't he be a KD stopper?
See, the stock is so low right now that I can't really say anything right now. So yeah. I'm keeping that silent so I don't get laughed at. But I don't know. I feel like Dante is almost a sunk cost at this point. Because, like, who knows if he's ever going to play again?
See, like, I'm a sucker. I saw him dunk, and I'm like, whoa. Okay. Whoa. We're going places now. I will say, my original take, to give myself some credit and walk back some of my Dante, we'll say slander. It's not even really slander. It's just low.
He'll tweet at you again, Ty.
He probably will. Hi, Dante. My original take was you don't trade him unless you get better now. Like, I don't think they would ever trade him if he's going to play again for like a pick if they think he would help them win. So if he can get back to anywhere close to where he was, even if that's now a bench player on the Bucks, it's still a useful player. And unless it was part of another move, I don't think they would cut down their own depth for a future asset. Like, the Bucks just have not been a team that does stuff like that while contending.
Cut down their future, their depth. He's not playing.
I said if they view him as a playable playoff piece. And he's dunking, so maybe he gets back sooner rather than later. But I think that maybe the trade could be, if he comes back in January or December even, plays until the deadline, looks good, maybe you flip him for another young player with question marks who happens to be closer to the four than the two. And no, I don't mean Marvin Bagley, who makes too much money and is not a defensive stopper or a four by any means. But I don't even know who's out there. I had a pipe
dream last year.
Oh my God. That's a dynasty. If they trade Dante for Lou Dort. I mean, hey, maybe OKC does it if you throw in a second round pick or something. I mean, that's Sam Presti's modus operandi. But last year, my pipe dream was Dante for John Collins, which obviously was not going to happen.
Nope. And,
but now they have Bobby, so they're actually better off. And I'm just dropping a lot of Bobby takes. There's a lot of Bobby takes on this pod. This is a pro Bobby podcast. Now, earlier this year, it was for Sexton, who the Cavaliers don't want to pay. But now he's out for the year, so now it's like that is a future asset if you trade for him and sign him. And you have to pay a lot of tax. But if Dante plays and Sexton doesn't, you're worse this year. You don't know how he fits. I don't think it works anymore. That would have been exciting, but I don't know. I don't know what the trade is. I don't know what young 3-4 would be available, but that could be an interesting option.
It would be. Sexton, it's fun. Like, that idea sounds so fun.
Injuries suck.
It sucks. Ah, yeah, that would have been cool. I don't know if the Cavs would do it.
You never know with the Cavs. They signed Lauren Markkanen to play the three, and it's working a little bit. Like,
that's true.
I don't know what goes on there. Are we undervaluing Dante, Jake? Because I feel like you've been shaking your head on the Dante takes flying here.
Yeah, I think if it's coming down to like a Bazley or a Kendrick Williams, I'd rather just see Dante in there. I think he's good enough to do the switching defense, switching 1-5. I'd rather play smaller and go Pat at the four or Chris at the four. I think if you're ultimately switching a matchup like KD, he's going to get who he wants on him anyways. So I feel like it's not as big of a deal going smaller, especially because Dante is such a good rebounder. I mean, that was one of his biggest assets, was being able to rebound in those smaller lineups. And I think he could still bring that. It's just a matter of his injury timeline and when he can get back and work himself back into the game shape and hopefully be ready for playoffs. But again, we don't really know much on that front between him and Brooks. So it's all kind of left up in the air.
Preaching to the choir.
Hopefully Horst knows.
Yeah.
Who knows at this point? Honestly. Like, he might not know.
My other buyout guy was, who's the guy wasting away on the Magic?
Terrence Ross?
No. Terrence Ross would probably be a trade, not a buyout. Did you say it, Jake?
I said Terrence Ross, too. That's what I was going to say.
No, the guy who was on the Nuggets.
And then Gary Harris.
He couldn't do offense anymore. Yeah, Gary Harris. Yeah. Like, but
he still can't play offense, by the way.
I know. But it's like, you give it a shot, I guess. But at this point, like, really, let's assume Horst is expecting Dante and Brooke to come back over the next couple weeks, month, whatever, how long it is, to be acclimated by playoffs. So a few months at least before the playoffs start. You're 10 deep between the starters, counting Grayson in there, and then Hill, Dante, Pat. Who am I forgetting?
Be Bobby or Brooke?
Yeah, Bobby. Oh, they're only 9 deep? Am I double counting someone? Maybe they're only 9 deep. But still, like, what role would Gary Harris even play? Like, at this point, like, if Dante returns, I don't think they're going to need a guard. Like, it's just not going to be an issue for them. So that's interesting. Like, their depth is working out not like I expected. Like, I thought a guard might be useful, or a center, obviously, early. Because they took 3 different shots at that backup 4, but I do think now it's like that's the only position I really have that much interest in. Like, I don't see them making a trade to upgrade on any starters. I think they're all too good and they have no assets they would actually trade. So they're in this weird spot of like really just needing that one thing and needing, again, subjective. Maybe they could win. Yeah,
it's not a weird spot. It's called being good and having a good roster.
Yeah,
like that's the thing here. We're sort of trying to figure out how to make this team even better because they're already insanely good, as we've seen throughout the stretch. When everyone's healthy, they've just been world beaters. Like, what are they on the 7-game win streak in terms of defense, especially? They're holding teams under 100.
Yeah, they're first in defense over the last 7 games played for each team. But, I think they're 10th in offense in that span.
It's just, they're just really good. I think that's the takeaway here, is that there's not a ton of stuff you can do with this team to really tinker and improve upon. Because they're so not only just top heavy, not top. I wouldn't even consider them top heavy. Actually, that's a good
question. They're pretty top heavy. Yeah, they're top three, big three, all on Mike's contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of like, they're getting good production out of their role players as well, especially like guys like Bobby, Grace, and Pat, like, and even George Hill on occasion, he'll give some good games. But it's just, it's a well-constructed roster. And like I mentioned earlier, the obvious hole of backup center has been filled. So we're just sort of grasping at like, how could this team get any better? They probably will do something. Like I mentioned earlier, they're going to make a move. It's inevitable. They're going to find a random 4 off the street. If John Horst cannot find his Mirotić, his Marvin Williams, his PJ Tucker, he might just like go out in the streets of Milwaukee, find the first 6'8" stocky guy he can find and say, here's a contract.
Stocky. Are we going back to the 80s here?
I don't know. It's just the first word I thought of. That's like just like a thick 6'8 guy, you know?
So many of those just roaming around Fiserv Forum waiting to get the call.
Yeah, it's just like you gotta stay ready, Tommy. Come
That's
on.
True. That's true. You don't gotta get ready if you stay ready.
Exactly. But my point being, even if there's not a ton of options out there, like we've tried to detail, there's not a ton. They'll be okay. R-E-L-A-X.
Oh, we're back. Relax. The Packers won today, so I guess that's a fitting drop. I will say one thing on just like the core that they've built. They've really done an excellent job building around a top-heavy team of max contracts, like either trading for a guy with bird rights or like in Bobby's case, kind of taking the flyer and then basically stringing it along until you get to early bird at least and then bird rights. And then in Pat's case, I mean, there's a case to be made that the Bucks haven't drafted and developed well since Giannis. It's true. Brogdon's the only guy. We'll see. Wara, the jury's out still, but they just haven't. But, like, honestly, he's 28 now, about to turn 29, so it sounds weird. But, like, Pat is a guy that they developed. They didn't draft him. And now you have his bird rights. So that's what you see in the league these days is, unless you are building a super team from scratch, which the Bucks can't do that. They're not – They're not in LA. They're not in Miami. They don't have LeBron. They can't just summon these players.
Where do you see the super teams there, Ty?
They've had them. They've had them. They brought Anthony Davis and then a really expensive role player named Russell Westbrook. But that is offensive to role players. But they're finding ways to bring these guys in and keep them around long enough until they can pay them, which, as we've seen, it's just like really hard to bring in talent. Like new, they just don't have the spending mechanism to do it. Like post getting Drew and re-signing Drew, like it's all like a guy and an exception works out. Or we bring in someone who's already been on a deal who can extend, like Grayson. And I just think they are top heavy. But the fact that you have like probably eight guys going forward, they're like, okay, if this is your core eight, you can pretty much contend until a couple of them get really old. It's a good place to be. Like they have more stability than a lot of teams who have this many max slots who have to be like, okay, you from the couch are playing. They had to do that because they've been so banged up. But when they're healthy, like, you know, we talk about Wara versus Hood versus 37 versus TA. The answer is none of them. Like, unless they can upgrade, they just won't play any of them. And they have enough guys. So the depth is really staggering considering they've gotten deeper as they've gotten more expensive, which usually it's the opposite.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of baseball, like small market teams going after players with options, minor league options,
yeah,
and just valuing that to keep players longer in your system. And you look at other teams like the Lakers. I mean, they're relying on Carmelo Anthony as their fourth guy because they literally have nobody on
Bird
rights. He's
been all right, which is wild.
He's shooting 90% at home. It's crazy.
Yeah, they just have no one on like good deals besides just like one-year minimums. I guess they have THT, the Bird rights on him, so that was the one. But outside of that, they don't have a lot of that compared to the Bucks, where they have Bobby, Pat, and Grayson and all those players forward.
Brooke, you can
and young, they're a lot younger too. That's the key too, is having these young pieces where they can grow next to Giannis and you have them long term with him.
Exactly. They're teetering the line of like trying to develop guys while also staying in contention, which is, it's a very tough line to really walk. The prime example of that being the Boston Celtics, who they were all set up and they tried to maintain contending while also developing their guys, and it hasn't gone great.
I wish they could have done better at developing number 37 before he came over here, man.
I tried to warn you.
They did okay with Tremont Waters, though.
They did. He's been killing it. But yeah, it's a tough line to walk. Credit to John Horace. Credit to the organization. It's been fun. It's been fun. It's been good to see them really do this. What else do we really have to talk about here?
I think just to wrap up here real quick, just we kind of went in team builder mode, which is good. We haven't done that in a while. I think like a roster move happening spurred it, and that makes sense. But I think it's good.
We do have breaking news here.
Oh, do we actually?
Yeah. So we have a Giannis tweet.
Oh.
How do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. My dad jokes are back.
Oh.
So that confirms boogie then.
Yeah, that certainly confirms. It's not
Giannis breaking news
until Giannis tweets about it. The Bucks, I don't believe, have announced it yet.
No, Giannis beat the admin.
Well, I wonder. They might. Well, it's going to be interesting. Maybe they do it tomorrow so we can start practicing on. But maybe they just do it whenever they practice for the first time because it's a per day cost. So. I do think they don't play again until Wednesday. We record this Sunday. I was going to say night. I guess it's night now. The game started at 4, which really threw me off, but it's not bad. But I think it's nice. They'll have some time to acclimate him. We'll see exactly when they announce it. But just in the, I guess, shorter term, we'll again go around here. Do you feel more or less confident about the Bucks' chances of repeating now, whatever they are, about a quarter-ish into the season? Maybe they're never exactly, but close to a quarter now, than you did beforehand. And is there anything that's like shifted in a notable way? Jake, you can take the floor first.
I would say yes. I had high hopes for the Bucks coming into this year. But I would say more so to the fact that the Nets looked down. They haven't been able to beat anyone good. They struggled Friday night against the Suns? And they played like three or four top tier teams and lost by double digits in all of them. You have the 76ers, no idea what's going on there with Ben Simmons, if there's going to be a trade or not. And I would guess the Miami Heat would be the only other team, but their depth isn't in great unless they get some buyout candidates there. So it's more so to the fact that the East is down. The Bucks have been obviously going up, so that's a good sign. And keep that going as well as getting healthy. But the overall, the East is down, so I think their path to the finals is easier. And then the West is also down to the fact with all the injuries on that side. So it's more the fact that the Bucks are the best team right now. It was proven from last year, and the other teams haven't proven that they've taken that leap to match them.
Yeah, like we talked about in the preseason tie before the season started, it was just I was really high on Brooklyn, so I put Brooklyn ahead of Milwaukee in terms of odds to repeat, even with the whole Kyrie saga. I just believed in them. It's been rough. Their role players, like LaMarcus Aldridge, is probably not going to continue shooting like 70% from mid-range. Blake Griffin, though, might hit a three at some point. That is yet to be seen. But he's like 9 of 56 in his last, like this season or something ridiculous.
16.1% right now.
It's ridiculous. Let me pull up his actual numbers.
And a lot of their bigs too on the Nets will get played off the floor in a playoff series, especially against the Bucks.
I was exactly right, by the way. 9 of 56.
Nice. Good pull. They signed a bunch of quote unquote bigs. None of them have the size to bother the Bucks. Like none of them are big enough. So at a certain point, it's like, what was the point of this? Also, Blake shooting that poorly is fifth on their team in attempts per game. Like, and then Javon Carter is sixth at 31%. So like they have some guys just absolutely chucking. Patty Mills and Joe Harris are making up for them, though.
The thing is, the most important aspect of the Nets really struggling a little bit is James Harden's efficiency has gone down tremendously, especially within the arc and at the rim. He's not finishing at the same rate he used to. He used to be an elite, elite rim finisher. It's just not there anymore. Whether that continues to be he's just not in shape yet, it's just his hamstring injury, who knows? Because the games keep progressing, the season keeps progressing, and he's still staying the same. So I don't know really what to attribute that to at this point, but the Nets have, like you mentioned, guys, just they're not big. They're big, but they're not big enough to really bother the Bucks because they keep getting hammered on the boards. They keep just getting their bigs getting played off the floor. I'm very, very down on the Nets, which is why I'm much higher on the Bucks now, much higher. They should be the favorites in the East. I don't know what the betting odds are right now, but from what we've seen of the Bucks and what we've seen of the Nets, who I still think are the two top teams in the East, it's hard not to take the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with both of you. I think the Bucks, I'm probably roughly as optimistic now as I was then. I mean, the thing now is like, can they just get and stay healthy? That's it mostly. Like, I think we've seen what we needed to see from the guys who have been playing. And even Brooke looked awesome night one, right? Like, I think they're going to be able to beat anyone as long as they can get healthy, which is like that annoying, always present thing in the NBA where you just don't know. But it'll be nice that the finals might be the real finals for the Bucks this year as opposed to it being the second round, because I do think Phoenix has won 16 straight games and no one cares. They've won 16 straight games. They didn't have Ayton for a lot of this. They still not have Ayton? I don't even know.
No, they do.
They just keep winning. It's stupid. And everyone's like, yeah, we don't care. The Warriors are more fun. And the Warriors are still ahead of them in the West, which is crazy.
18-2.
I hope we get that series. I mean, they've slayed bums, but they're clearly good. They're going to get Klay back at some point, hopefully. That series should be super fun. I hope it goes seven. I'm just glad the Bucks aren't. Like, I mean, the Nets are going to be really hard, but those teams look really good. So I'm glad it won't be like a team that just kind of wanders through the West, which the Suns kind of did last year. They earned it, but they clearly this year it looks like it'll be a harder path through the West. So I feel good about the Bucks' chances for sure. One last quick-hitting question. I was looking at the Nets stats. Would you trade Dante for Nick Claxton?
No.
Would you just never trade with the Nets, or do you not like Claxton enough? Like, it's both. Interesting positionally. I'm kind of low.
No.
I don't know if
I can already see the Dante revenge game, and I want none of that. I want none of that.
Plus, I don't know what's going on with Nick Claxton, realistically. Like, he's struggled with injury. He's been out of shape a little bit. It's just like, and even when he's healthy, he's not playing. I don't really know what to make of that situation. I know people around the Nets don't really know what to make of that situation. It's just, it's tough.
Yeah.
So no.
It's not great. Like I think I kind of lauded the Nets for not playing DeAndre, and now the Lakers started him, which is just great. But for not playing DeAndre after a certain point when they were like, okay, buddy, you just stink compared to the other guys on the team. And I don't know if that's what they're doing with the old guys. They're playing over Claxton. Like, it might look like that. I don't think he's really earning the minutes. Like, I think that org has shown they won't just play the old guys by default. Like, DeAndre was the third guy who signed with Katie and Kyrie, right? Like, it was important that he was there. And they just, like, shunned him, even with all the injuries. He never really played against the Bucks in the playoffs. There is something weird going on there. So I think I agree. And now they have Cam Thomas, who apparently is going to be, like, the GOAT. We'll see. we got a big...
Jordan Nore is better.
Ooh.
I think so, too. I'm looking at the shooting splits, and it doesn't seem
it really isn't that controversial.
Cam is shooting 10% from three. Like...
Yeah, this isn't the preseason or the summer league. like he tore apart summer league, which is why everyone was excited, and preseason a bit, but it just hasn't translated at all, which is why you shouldn't take those games seriously.
New age Rashad Vaughn.
Oh, God.
Shoddy.
I feel bad for Cam Thomas.
Yeah, that's the single time to wrap up. We've invoked Rashad Vaughn.
he won MVP in something, didn't he?
Yeah, some overseas league. I think we looked. I don't remember where. It was far away.
He's still only 25.
Potential.
Yeah.
Was it? No,
he was Ukrainian Basketball Super League Finals MVP. He didn't win a league MVP. He was Finals MVP. Led them to a title. Shouts to Rashad Vaughn. That is a great place to wrap. Say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Eurostep Network and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Thank you to our guest, Jake Reed's fantastic appearance. Jake, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JaJaReets.
Incredible stuff. Make sure you're following if you're not already. Just great content all around the Bucks. It's fantastic. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed on podcast platforms, Substack, YouTube, all the fun stuff. Leave a 5-star review, and we will talk to you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.